One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, baby! We're gonna be here all day! We're gonna be here all day, baby! I like this kind of party!
Welcome back to the Way Back. I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for supporting everything and anything I do. You guys are the best. And if you want to help this show out, this show's been... You guys seem to really be digging it. It's doing great. I would love it if you go to over to Apple and give it a 5-star review. Help starting to get a little traction over there. Let everybody know what's up. All right. Now, this is a guest here I'm sitting in the Way Back with today that I couldn't wait to get on this show. It is made for him. When I just even started thinking of this concept, I'm like, this is the dude that can't wait to sit in the seat with. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Steve Simone, everybody. Welcome to the Way Back, buddy. It's so good to see you.
It's the best. I'm so happy.
Human Prozac. I love it. Haven't seen you since Tampa.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We had great shows in Tampa.
So much fun.
Yeah, you were saying before we recorded, so you literally have babies in your audience.
Yep. But my favorite are the old people.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll do all ages shows because that's like one of the ways I try to sell tickets because these clubs are like, we're not moving tickets. I'm like, make it all ages. And they're like, what? I'm like, let's do an early show, all ages. And it's usually families that come out because comedy's so popular now. Little kids love it. But when I do all ages in Florida.
Is it working?
Oh, yeah. But it's usually senior citizens. And that's my demo. Like grandmas, they're like, he's adorable.
Listen, man, I say all the time, I just have such a soft, warm spot in my soul for old ladies who love sports and play cards.
They're the best.
It's my grandmom and her sisters. You 100%. Know, I'm talking shit. You know, and dude, each one of them was a different lady. Like my grandmom walked the line of, hey, proper and like I know when to let loose a little bit. Yeah. Aunt Marguerite was smoking and dropping. Watch this motherfucker, Ryan. Dude, cheats. I'm like, so they're funny. So different.
My dad's mom was Marguerite, was her name. She was a complete, everything she said and did was hilarious.
Yes, everything.
And she was so different from my mom, who was I had an Irish grandmom and an Italian grandmom. And my Irish grandmom she moved in with us when I was 10.
I had same. Yeah, we'll talk. Go ahead. Oh,
dude, it was just, but the best was like we would do family dinners. And you know, some people just have funny bones. My gram just had funny bones. And she would say things completely inappropriate, like to an 11-year-old mind. Like,
yeah.
I remember once, like, okay, so it's me, my three brothers, my parents. Thank God I grew up in a house where most of the time we did family dinners around the table together, right? And it was always like, what's Graham going to say, right? And I remember, like, I'm 11, maybe 12 years old, and she's mad about something. And my dad's like, Bob, what's the problem? She goes, I think it's a disgrace. And we're all like, what? I think it's a disgrace Mimi had to trim her own bush. And we're like, guys, keep it down. It's not funny. Your mother shouldn't have to trim her bush. My older brother, like he was dying, the fun, yeah. And he's just, what do you mean she had to trim her own bush by the back door? And he's like, Mimi's bush was covering the back door. Yeah, she had to take out the clippers and trim it herself. You would think Russ would help her, but with three young men in this house, I can't believe your mother had her die. And he's like,
stomach's ripping open.
Dying. Yeah. And my big brother said, was her bush big? Please, I cut my eye going in the back door. We're like, dying.
So my grandma and her sister, Aunt Marguerite was the one. So then there were a total of 12 brothers and sisters two died at birth, you know, back then. She was the one of the sisters, like I said, smoke, you know, talk shit. And I just used to love to talk to her because everything was sarcastic and funny. She was always bringing heat, always bringing heat. Like if you said something, it was a smart ass comment. I don't know why this one stands out in my head, but one of their siblings had passed away, and we're driving the Aspen station wagon that we have that was her daughter's wedding limo, okay? Yes. It's been passed on to us now. My dad's driving it, and then it becomes my brother and my first car to learn, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're like 14, and we're all going to – it's my brother and I are 14. My brother Todd's probably 10, 11, and my dad's driving. My little brother's in the way back.
Yeah.
We got Aunt Marguerite up front here. We got my brother, my grandma in the middle, me.
Perfect.
Little brother in the way back. And we're driving to Tyrone, Pennsylvania to go to one of their siblings' funerals. And we're not sure where we got to go. So there's a map. You remember? You got to use a map.
Paper maps.
We're going on a map. And there's so much shit in this glove compartment. The Aunt Marguerite, my dad's like, get the map out of the glove compartment. Aunt Marguerite's, by the way, smoking in the car. No one else smokes but her. You know what I mean? But too fucking bad. We all are smoking now. You know what I mean?
Nobody knew about secondhand smoke.
She's just, we're on the highway. She can't roll windows down on the highway like that. But she's just smoking, got the cigarette hanging at her lips, and she opens that glove compartment. There's so much shit in there. She just goes, Jesus Christ, you need a fucking map to find something in here. And I started laughing. Just like it was that nonstop. You know what I mean? Cigarette, but meant it. 100%. Didn't even try to be funny.
That's who they were. Real characters.
Just so fucking funny. And then when I had to move in with them, after my grandmom died, my Aunt Marguerite takes me in. My own grandmom's sister takes
me in.
That's awesome. And she's raising her grandkids. She's got them. And I got so close with her. I learned to play pinochle again.
Awesome.
We would play pinochle every night. Just nickel and dime pinochle.
Yep.
And she'd sit there and smoke. And she would tell me, watch this motherfucker, Ryan. I bet she's got a card under his leg now. And he would. He would. She knew how everybody cheated. She's like, Timmy's a cheater, Ryan. This son of a bitch is a cheater. Yeah.
I totally forgot pinochle even existed. Yeah. And I remember my grandfather smoking a cigar, just shuffling the cards. Yeah. Ready, Ian?
Yeah. So there's three brothers, right? You're the middle brother.
Yep.
And you grew up sharing a room all the time. Oh, well, here we go. Here are the Simone boys.
How did you guys find that?
I do some research.
Whenever I see that picture, I think of that Calypso drum sound, the steel drums for Jay-Z, because I'm a P-I-M-P.
Yeah. My grandmom used to come over, and my brother and I, we would push our twin beds together.
Oh,
and she would lay in the middle with us.
The best.
And we would never sleep. We'd be like, Grandma, tell us stories. And my grandma, I didn't realize back then what my grandmother was doing was improv. She's just making up stories to make
us
laugh. That's
where you probably get it from.
And she's just, you know, making up whatever story she can and just making us die hard laughing. And my mom would yell, be quiet up there. And we're like, fuck that, man. It's grandma's here, you know? And then as we got older, we used to, when we were able to drive, we'd go to her place or we'd be dropped off for the summer. And she had a bed. She'd lay in the middle and my brothers would lay on either side of her. And then I would take the foot of the bed like the dog. That's my spot. And we used to sit there and ask her questions and she would tell us stories and we would laugh till our fucking stomach ripped open. And I'll never forget, just she lived on 1111 Elm Road.
Wow.
Right off of 95. And I used to love the hot summer night just hearing those trucks roll down the interstate, man. I love that shit.
Yeah, it's just the peace.
But that's where I really do believe I get it. Like she was just telling us, it was nonstop funny.
Yep.
Even when shit was terrible and sad, they were just still, at their core, they were funny people.
Because I think they needed to be. Because we don't realize how privileged we are for the lives we have. But I remember my grandmother, she was like, oh, you don't know what the Depression was like. They lived through that. They lived through World War II. They built this country. And they worked hard. And they laughed. And I'm a big believer in this. I think it's my grandmother's prayers that have sustained me through life. Like, I really do believe that. I think grandmothers are just, they're the best people.
Dude.
They're just better.
You'll love this because this is hits the Comedy Store home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's really scary? Lying awake at 2 a.m. thinking about that one time in high school you really blew it. Or that awkward family reunion. We've all been there, mind racing, tossing, turning. You might not be able to turn off your brain, but at least you can have a great mattress. And that's where Ghost Bed comes in. They're true sleep pros with over 20 years of experience and more than 60,000 five-star reviews. Each mattress is made right here in the USA with premium materials that are truly built to last. They just introduced their brand new collection where you can choose from the Comfort Signature or Luxe mattresses, each available as either all foam or hybrid. Each includes Ghost Bed's exclusive ProCore support layer, which gives you ergonomic zoned comfort that keeps your spine aligned. The real MVP, the patented cooling technology in their Luxe mattress, which they've dubbed the coolest bed in the world. The top layer is 5 times cooler than their starter model, plus it's stacked with gel memory foam and their patented Ghost Ice technology. You also get a 101-night sleep trial, free shipping, and a 20 to 25-year warranty. Right now, GhostBed is hooking Wayback listeners up with an extra 10% off. Just head to ghostbed.com/wayback and use code Wayback at checkout. That's ghostbed.com/wayback, promo code Wayback, sleep better, no time machine required. So, Sam Kinison, we were in love with Rodney Dangerfield special and
dude,
Rodney.
That was
and
like those young comedian specials were
dice, everybody.
Oh my gosh.
And Kinison's coming on. And, you know, he's outrageously loud and yelling. And if you haven't seen Sam Kinison, even today, it's still something you haven't really seen in comedy. A little bit of Bobcat was a little bit out there early on, but Kinison had this. And my grandmother was always one of those, like, she loved Johnny Carson.
Loved
Carson. And she would always tell us, my grandfather was like, I'm not watching this. I'm going to bed. She's like, you're going to miss Karnak. This guy's funny. And then one night, my grandfather stayed up. She's like, fell in love with him. And then that was their thing. They would watch The Tonight Show together.
That's, you know,
back
awesome.
Then, there's like 2 channels, right?
But dude, I watch old Carsons now.
They're
so
funny.
Good.
He was funny as shit. So Kinison comes on HBO. My brothers and I are watching. And we know we're not supposed to be watching this in front of grandma. But she's like, and she would do that thing. Like,
I didn't know your grandma was there.
Grandma's sitting there. We put it on. Great. Like, you know, we're doing that. So we put Kinison on, and she's just sitting and rocking her chair. And, you know, he starts in that voice like this, so it's fine for a minute. You know? And then he starts doing with the yelling, and she's just sitting there because he's not yelling crazy cusses and stuff yet.
Marlboro.
Yeah, he's just like, sand. This is sand.
I still think one of the greatest bits of all time.
It's sand. You know what? It's going to be sand. So she's just like, who is this guy? She's saying to us, right? She's like, just turn this, she's saying. And we're like, no, grandma, we like this. And you could tell she doesn't really, you know what I mean? Like, just turn. And then he starts doing the bit where his girlfriend's telling him to fuck her harder. And he's talking about driving. He's back in the car. And so he's like, harder. You want harder? We look over at my grandma. My grandmother's pissing herself. She is pissing herself. But doing this,
turn it off.
No, you know, and loving every bit of Sam Kinison's wild ass because we're dying. And she had this laugh, man. She would do this laugh that got you laughing in a way. Like, I have a weird laugh. My grandmother would start. It was like an engine. She'd go, And then we're like, oh, shit. That's how you do it. We're like, get her. Because if she got there, we could get her to pee or piss. She would be like, stop up here. She'd go, And then just like, and lose it. We're like, we would try to put our knee on her neck and make her, you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like,
you
want to
keep going for
kill
that?
Her, yeah.
Kill her. My mom.
Kill her. Yeah.
She'd start to shake. She'd try to hold in the laugh. Like, she was embarrassed. Woo, woo. And then she'd go, woo, woo, woo. And she had those big Hulk Hogan blubbery arms with like a dap cloth rolled up like Biggie Smalls because she was always cooking.
The vaccination scar right here. Because they had to get those back then.
Who knows what's in this? Ka-clunk.
So fucking funny. We would try to kill her if she started laughing.
Dude,
I tried
to kill my dad still talks about it. He tried to kill me.
Yeah.
It sucked because like it was always laughs at the dinner table, always laughs. Mm-hmm. And then because my big brother was the funniest. And then I would just take what he did and add more energy to it. And I remember once my dad got up from the table and he's choking, laughing. And I'm following him. He goes outside, right? So I open the door to keep the laughs going. And then he bolt, like holding the door closed so I don't come out. So that I came out the side door and I came up behind and I'm still doing, I'm gonna die. Like on the front lawn.
That was the best. When you got somebody when you weren't supposed to, like if you looked over your brother in like church or something,
the
tight shoulders. Once I saw your shoulders going, I was you're done, bro. You're done.
It's like you'll see your tag and we're like, oh,
I'm bringing everything I got, right? Yeah, this is my grandma's house. This is unfortunately the house we had to move in. After all the bullshit, but that 1111 right there,
I've seen that.
You've seen that in my home,
in your house, yeah.
Because that's actually the newer one. I don't know if you can zoom in super close, but you'll see the old mark from the one.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, it is right there. See it below.
Yep.
So one night I went home years ago, and this was my grandmom's home. You know, this was it. We lived here, and then. That was my father's room, upper right, the two windows. And then my twin brother, Derek, stayed in there. This was my room over here to the left. This room was so small. I had a chest of drawers and a twin bed. And I'd have to turn sideways just to get in between the two. This is where I lived. I told you, I didn't have a twin bed I had a twin bed until I was like 22. I moved back here after college for a second, I lived in the basement. And my Aunt Patty was like, "You have a twin bed?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she bought me a full size, not a queen. She surprised me. I'm like, if you'd have just told me, I'd have kicked $100 and got the queen.
We could have enjoyed ourselves. Hey, Patty, this was so close to being a gift.
But this was the house here. And so one night I go back and I get wasted and I have a buddy of mine driving a Jeep and he's got one of those old school military shovels in the back. Remember that thing from the surplus store? Had a pickaxe on it.
Yeah, it was a weapon.
Yeah, he's got one in the back. And I said, "Let me get that fucking pick out of there.
Take the sign off."
Dude, Steve, I went up. There were people living there at the time. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm Spider-Man.
Oh, you're lucky you didn't get
shot. I'm Spider-Man on the wall. Like that thing was in there from like World War II rebar. You know what I mean? From the 40s.
How'd you get it out?
I was took that pickaxe and I'm telling you, if you could have seen a picture of me, I was suspended off the ground. I had my feet on the brick with the pickaxe like this, like Spider-Man. I was going,
the power.
And I could feel it start to get loose. And I was like, "Yeah, come on." Pop that bitch off and ran. To this day, you'll see it when you come over. I got it up in my place. It's one of my daughter's favorite things. That's like our little, you know, all the teams touch something. Yeah. That's our little touch it for good luck.
You can see it on Lefty's son even.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should go back and buy that house. Like my dream has always been to be able to buy the house that I grew up in and turn it into a studio like this. Because I know if I was in those walls, the stories would come back to
me. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, that was a little Arbutus spot.
You can still see there's still love in that house. Like whenever I see a house and there's kids' toys and stuff piled up in front, like that's how you know there's love in there.
All right, so you guys, you're the middle child. Your brother is, you said, not even a full year older than you?
Yeah, so my older brother's 3 years older, but my younger brother, Mark, we're Irish twins. Mm-hmm. We're 51 weeks apart, 51 weeks exactly. So we celebrate Brother Week. Every year we were the same age for a week. And honestly, I know this sounds crazy, but my first memory is being a baby and them lowering my infant little brother into the crib next to me. And I remember just thinking, here comes my buddy. Look at that kid.
That kid looks scared to death of that little baby being loaded. Here comes my buddy.
Chubsy Ubsy.
What kind of games, like I've talked about this before on because I share a bedroom with a brother at the same, we're the same age.
Yeah.
So puberty's this, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like everything's within the same sort of span of everything.
Yep.
Probably for you guys as well, within a year, but we're 100%. Within months probably. And he used to do shit like brothers are disgusting. I've told this story, but I would be laying there at night and I'd be falling asleep and I would just feel like, you know, stuff hit me. And I'm like, "What the fuck is that?" And I'm like, "What are you doing?" And I hear him dying laughing. I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm rolling my boogies up." And he's fucking, he's nailing me with them. Until I'm like, you
see the accuracy of a brother.
In the dark, bro. Dark. pelting me. I'm feeling it. That's why he's laughing, because he's starting to see a reaction. Like, oh, he's like, oh, I'm hitting him. Like, yeah, this asshole. Back left, that dickhead. Yeah. Look, I got grass stains on my pants. That's our family photo. That's our family photo.
Dude, I totally forgot. Always grass stains, holes in the knees.
Yeah, dude. My favorite game we would do at night, this is when we were young too, was called Todd. That was my younger brother Todd laying there in that picture on the bottom. And he had his own room. He's just about 4 years younger than us. And we would lay there and we would just go, it's be like 11 o'clock at night. We'd be like, Todd. And he'd be like, what? And then we would say nothing. And then we go, Todd. He go, what? And then we're dying. Like, we're not saying anything. And we just keep acting like we can't hear him. We're going, Todd. And then he'd emphatically go, what? And then we're like, Todd. He go, what? Eventually. And my mother would be like, you guys better get to sleep up there. And then he'd be like, they're saying my name. It's the favorite. I still laugh so hard. They're saying my name.
You could just ignore it. But right? Well, you have that little
and
kid
that's
brain.
That's what it turned on to us. Like, he's too young to understand that he could just ignore us. Yep. So as soon as it settles, Todd. He's like,
it would be rude not to respond.
And he's like, what? And then my brother and I are you right now. We are dying at our beds. He can't hear us. We're like, oh, God, you do the next one. And then he would do it. He'd be like, Todd. He'd be like, what? They do the teak grins with what like that. My mother would be, damn it, I'm gonna come up there. Mom, they're saying my name. She would come up, flip the lights on both of us. Like, the best. She's like, I know you're calling his name. They're saying my name. And she's like, ignore. That's when she's like, ignore him. But he can't. And she'd go downstairs and he'd be like, Todd. He'd be like, what? Like right away, dude.
For the love.
That shit driving him nuts.
I remember the thing that I loved most when me and Marky shared a bedroom together. The only thing we could do not get in trouble would be whisper talk back and forth. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, here's the door to the room. Here's my twin bed. Then there was a window with a desk right here. And he really used it because he was like a smart kid, you know? I just set up army men. And like, I never studied anything. And so it was bed, desk, bed. And like, you know, you're playing games, you're 6, 5, 6, 7 years old, and you're doing like the floor is lava and jumping from bed to bed, just trying not to touch. And my dad would just pound on, like, knock it off in there. So after he'd keep on coming into the room, like, I'll crack your, we're like, all right, take. So the only thing we could do and not get in trouble is whisper talk back and forth. And the funniest thing, like I think back to it now, is that my little brother loved the conversation so much that he would never be like, good night, I'll talk to you tomorrow. He'd keep on talking until he fell asleep. So,
like saying the weird stuff.
The joke I have is that he sounded like a cowboy that got shot at the end of a movie, because he'd be like, ah, that's awesome. Like, he's trying so hard to stay awake. Like, that's awesome. Like, I remember when my first concert ever was, my dad took me to go see Van Halen. And we don't get home till like 11. We left early. My dad took us. I never stayed for a full concert, sporting event, nothing.
Oh, no?
He would always want to beat the traffic. Like, when we were really little, I remember he took us to a baseball game. He's like, buddies, if we leave now, we might be able to watch ourselves on TV. Like, there's no shot. Right. We're like, really? Let's get in the car. We can get Burger King on the way home. We're like, Panama. But I remember coming home from the Van Halen concert, my little brother's trying so hard to stay awake, and he's like, don't wake up your brother. And I get into the room and he's just like, was it awesome? I go, yeah. And he's like, did you get me anything? And
like
I have a t-shirt. And I go, I got you a t-shirt. He's like, that's awesome. And as he's falling asleep, he goes like this, he goes, did Alex Van Halen light his gong on fire? Because the only thing you knew was from Rock and Roll Man. There's Alex Van, and I go, no, he didn't light it on fire. And he was like, oh, I bet it was still awesome. Like that. We had those conversations every night. But what he would do, because he was really a smart kid, and remember, he would stretch himself out in the bed, stretch like to try to like this, And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to be tall. And he would fall asleep doing affirmations going, I'm going to be tall.
He would say,
I'm going
to
be tall. Dude, no lie. The last time we were the same height, I was maybe 9 years old. Because we were able to brush our teeth in the same mirror because he kept on just getting taller than me, taller than me. It worked. I should have. He was all ahead of like Tony. He was like a 9 year old Tony Robbins. He's like, he's got affirmations on his mirror. Conceive it.
You just
believe it.
Have
achieve
so many
it.
Memories. Dude, we were such big wrestling fans.
The
of
greatest.
Course. And my brother and I have our side by side beds. And one night we're doing the, you know, we're just British bulldogging.
It's the greatest.
I've got him in a headlock. I'm like, all right, we're going to start on my bed. And then we're going to jump over to your bed in the air. We're going to clear the gap and then I'll DDT you.
Let's do it.
I mean, I'll bulldog you on that one over there. And he's like, let's do it. And, you know, my mom was an aggressive lady.
Yep.
We jump across the beds and we make it. But my knee, when my knee hits the bed, it just, for whatever reason, the cushion of it just made my knee like propel forward a little bit. Bro, right through the wall. And we were both like, like, we're, you know, that
we're going
panic.
To jail. Yeah, we're going to jail.
Panic. Yeah. Yep. We're both like, what do we do? Yep. Now we're on the same team. And I'm just like, he's like, you got to tell her. I'm like, I'm not. Yeah, it was my, because so I knew it was my knee. So we were told we didn't know how to fix it, but we were told you had to cut the thing out. So we cut the thing
how
in a square. We're like sixth grade, probably seventh grade. We cut the thing out in a nice square. And then we never did shit. It was
perfect square.
Dude, it was right next to my brother's bed right here. And in February, that wind would come hustling through that thing.
Ebenezer, it's like a ghost gone through.
I also remember you telling me about affirmations. So again, we're going through puberty within the same sort of time. And one night, my brother's laying next to me. It's pitch black dark. And we had been quiet for a minute. Wasn't even sure he was still awake. I'm just about out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear him go, oh, cool. I have anal hairs.
Ugh.
I started laughing so hard. First of all, by the way, I didn't even know we were supposed to get anal hairs.
Number I didn't one. Know I was supposed to check.
Number two, he's over there playing with his asshole.
What are
now
you
he's
doing?
Got anal hairs, dude. I was like, what? Went to school the next day and told Everett. To this day, like my middle school buddies that still know him are like, cool, I got anal hairs. They still say it to him. Like digging in your asshole over there next to me.
Isn't it funny how like people remember stuff? Like, I remember my little brother, when he got his first BB gun, he stole one of my mom's tomatoes, mm-hmm. and he's showing all the kids in the neighborhood. He was like Homer Simpson when he got a pistol. He's like, look at my gun. You will respect me, right? So, and he goes, oh, you don't think so? And he pulls out a tomato, and he goes, I will turn this tomato into tomato sauce. And then everybody just called him Sauce from that
sauce.
Point.
Sauce, that's not a bad name,
it's
though.
Great name. But the funniest thing about the wrestling, I remember this vividly. And you know with stand-up, you kind of combine stories to give it.
Of course.
But they would show live pro wrestling from the Philadelphia Spectrum. It's the greatest memories. Like between live pro wrestling, comedy specials. My family, we're always in front of the TV having laughs. We were either eating or watching TV having laughs. You know, like we weren't like an outdoorsy family sport. No, we would just, let's eat and laugh, right? So I remember my little brother, he would always fall asleep before me. And that was I hated being awake by myself. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I'd be like, Mark. And then I'd hear, and I'm like, you fell asleep again? Like he would try to stay awake, but he just couldn't do it. And so we watch pro wrestling. We are geeked up. We're out of our minds. It's like past our bedtime. My dad gave us Mountain Dew. We were asleep. He woke us up. Right now he's like, now get to bed. And I'm like, I was asleep, but you woke me up, bro. So we are acting out the pro wrestling in our room. And my dad comes in, he shuts it down. And then he hey man, don't make me come in here again. And he turns out the light and he goes, I don't want to hear a sound. And I remember my little brother was so scared. He really went like this. He went, but dad, we love you. True. And my dad goes, we'll love each other tomorrow when it's awake time. Go to bed. So he leaves, bro, not even 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. I hear my little brother go, Steve, are you still awake? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, no concept of time. I'm like, yeah. He goes, turn on the light. I'm like, no way, dude. He goes, turn on the light. I'm like, no, dad'll get mad. He goes, come on, I have the best idea ever. I go, what is it? He goes, I can't tell you. I need to show you. I go, is it good? No. It's the best idea ever. Turn on the light. And I remember turning on the light. And after you'd been in the dark for like 2 minutes, your eyes have to readjust to the light. And my little brother's stripping into his tighty whities because that was wrestling. Like you, and he goes, Steve, you know how normally I dive from my bed straight into your bed? Because it's a little room. It would be like from here to there.
Yeah, that, right.
You know? So he would dive from his bed into my bed. But he goes, instead of diving straight into your bed, what if I go from my bed onto that desk, then into your bed? I'm like, why?
That's what he's doing
yeah,
over there.
Like crunch, he's yeah. always the angles. He was.
Yeah.
He goes, Steve, it's half the distance. The same amount of force, half the distance. I'll fly higher. Plus, that's a hard surface. I'm like, that's a great idea. And I remember he's jumping on his bed and hear my dad going, knock it off. Like that, because it's going, because he's trying to get momentum to make the jump. And you hear my dad going, knock it off. And then my little brother goes, I'm Superfly Snooker. My dad pounds the wall. He goes, knock it off. And Mark freezes. And then his eyes just went like this. He looked at me and he goes, I'm Superfly. And he jumps. He hits the desk. Immediately, I know we have a problem because he makes that uh-oh face. You know what I mean? Like you're going to slip on ice. And instead, of he bounces. He's flying over my head. And he hits the back corner of the bed. The whole bed comes up. I remember it was a box spring is like boom, 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 boom. The whole bed goes boom, 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 boom. We roll off the bed. The air's knocked out of him, but he's laughing, like frozen laughing, like, ah. And I'm like, that was awesome. He goes, let's do it again. Then you hear my dad's door swing open. He goes, I'm cracking heads. And my little brother starts to panic, like, what do we do? What do we do? I go, get in your bed, act asleep. And I turn out the light. No lie. I'm like, I remember my whole bed's going up and down because I'm chubby. I'm trying to breathe. My dad's like, what's going on in here? And I remember just being like, use your ninja breathing techniques, lower your heart rate. I'm not moving. I am not, like, because I'm out of breath, I'm moving, but I'm trying not to move my body. And I'm inching the blanket slowly to cover my eyes, right? And I'm like this. Dude, my little brother was so young, he didn't know how real people slept because he always fell asleep before me. So he's stiff in his bed. He'd only seen the Three Stooges in cartoons. So he's stiff in his bed like this.
Doing that snoring
when he hit the beep, 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 beep. No, because he thought that's what people did when they slept. So my dad starts laughing. My dad's like, what's going on in here?
Good.
And then he gets scared, so he starts doing it faster. Like nerves are gonna make him go, beep, 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 beep. And I can't keep it in, and I throw off the blanket. I'm like, where would my dad's dying laughing? He's like, you kids are crazy.
That's the best.
It was so much fun.
My mom used to like. She would hate it if we heard noise at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from our bed in this one particular house, you could see straight into the kitchen. And she'd be in there doing whatever. Shut up in there. Shut up. And we'd be talking and laughing. Shut up or I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to beat your ass. Not nice.
Yeah.
Like, would come in and beat our ass. And so we would just get up and we would just shut our door. And she would, like, leave the door open. I'm like, why? We're trying to sleep. You know, so we would keep shutting the door. And she came to the door and she said, I swear to God, you get out of this bed one more time, Ryan, I'm going to beat your ass. And I was like, okay. So now my thought is, I got to get that door open, but I can't get out of bed. Remember Fat Laces?
Oh, yeah.
So at this point, Fat Laces have phased out.
Yeah.
I got a closet full of those things. So we had tons of these in our chucks and all that stuff. You know, you crisscross two or three different kinds and had a whole closet. Our room's small. My closet's right there. So I get out of the bed and I go into the closet and I just lay in bed. My brother's like, what are you doing? I was like, you'll see. And I'm just tying all my Fat Laces together. Okay. And then I climb to the edge of my bed.
Yeah.
And the door's right there. And I just tie the Fat Laces to one end. And I lay it out in bed. And I just, I pull it up. My mother's like, God damn it. But now she's coming to the door. She goes, I'm telling you one more time, I'm going to beat your ass. And she's like, I told you not to get out of bed. I was like, I didn't get out of bed.
Out.
So she pulls it, but she's not latching it. Every time she's pulling it till it's just because she wants to be able to still hear. So we lay there and then just, and my brother's dying. I'm just fishing. You know what I mean? I'm just pulling that door up. She's like, God, and she can see me still laying in bed. Can't figure out how it's happening, but won't come in the room. Like, doesn't come in. So I get away with it three times and we are just pissing ourselves, just pissing ourselves. And then she finally slam the door shut, dude. That kind of shit's the best.
Dude, all right. So when I saw that picture of the Three Stooges, this is one of my favorite, probably the hardest we laughed as a, well, second hardest we laughed as a family. And I might tell you the first story, but I've never, it's in the vault because I don't want to, but this is a true story. So we had, was those old houses, no central air conditioning. And back then the summers in like Philly, Baltimore, that humidity, like in August, it's brutal.
Brutal.
You can't sleep through the night. It's
we
like
would
a
put
sauna.
A thermometer in our house. It would be well over 100 degrees.
100, absolutely. Well over. Especially upstairs because the heat would rise.
That attic is hot. Yeah.
So we had a one of those window air conditioners in the living room. And I remember we're begging my parents to just let us sleep. Turn, leave the AC on and let us sleep in the living room. And we had one of those fold-out couches that was a bed. And it's essentially like a comforter over five steel bars. There's no cushioning at all, right? Now, it was after E.T. It was the summer Return of the Jedi came out, because this is all real story. And we're at the family dinner table, and my older brother, like I said, is always keeping the laughs going, right? And he's doing impressions of everybody. And the thing about my dad was he would laugh, then he would get mad. Like we would say he had an invisible fuse. Like we would light the fuse and we didn't know he was getting mad because he's still laughing. He'd be like, all right, why don't you, all right, let's settle down and eat. Right. But we don't, we're not paying attention to that because we see you laughing. So my older brother's killing it. And I remember as he's killing it, he stands up, he goes, all right, who am I now? And he starts to do this with his shirt and he's going, phone home. And I go, E.T.? He goes, no, I'm Mark. Trying to call mom when she's late to pick him up from soccer practice, right? So, because my little brother was so skinny because everybody else was fat because he couldn't eat as fast. It's that, that's real. So everybody's laughing, but my little brother, and my little brother's like, I don't know, seven. And he looks at Chris, he goes, oh yeah? Well, at least I'm not a fat mother lover like you. He's but he drops the bad word.
He said motherfucker? I'll say it. How old is he when he says motherfucker?
Maybe seven.
Mike, that's not just fuck. That's motherfucker.
Oh, bro. It was like the record skips.
I bet, dude.
Right? And it then, I'm like, uh-oh. My dad goes, what did you say? And he goes, I hate him. Well, you don't use language like that. And then my big brother's now like, here's his opportunity to get back. He goes, yeah, Mark, we don't use language like that. And my dad goes, Chris, where do you think he learns it from? My dad cursed all the time. All that, because he would just lose his mind. And my big brother's like, he learned to, no, he doesn't. He goes, you're the big brother. You have to set an example. You're the one with the foul mouth. I shouldn't let you watch Saturday Night Live. You're doing character assassinations. Character assassinations. You think it's Schumer. My big brother's like, you were laughing. He goes, I was not laughing. I was trying to tell you to stop. Now somebody's feelings got hurt. You got to. So now they're going back and forth. And my big brother, who's fat and mean, looks right at my dad. He goes, fine. Whatever, Jabba, just like that to my dad's face. Now me, my little brother, freeze. And I remember thinking, I go, Chris is going to die, right? He goes, and my dad goes, what did you call me? He goes, Jabba. And my dad goes, oh, yeah? What's Jabba mean? And my big brother's eyes light up because my dad doesn't know. He's calling him Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. He goes, Dad, I thought you knew what Jabba meant. Why don't you tell me, tough guy? He goes, it's a word all the kids are using. It means cool. And my dad goes, what? He thought it was a genuine compliment. And he needed that in his life. You know what I mean? Like he's
no.
And he goes, do you really think I'm Jabba? And my big brother's like, and me, my little brother, trying not to laugh. Right. And he's going, oh, you're totally Jabba. He goes, I am. He was like, oh, you're so Jabba. You don't even know it. He goes, the way you eat is Jabba, the way you smell is Jabba. And he was like, oh, it's a new cologne. It's Brute, you know? So
Brute.
That whole summer. My dad thinks Jabba is a compliment. And dude, I remember this vividly. Two times my dad used it. Yeah, like, and I see people in LA do that, like where I'll see somebody my age and they go, oh, he's got Riz. I'm like, dude, you're too old to use that word.
Yeah, I see a minor 50 saying it's cap. I'm like, that's not for you.
It's not for you.
It's not for you.
It's not. But now my dad's trying to connect and he thinks he's cool because he's in with the lingo. And he saw us on our bikes. And I remember he's coming in from work and he just waves. He goes, you guys are looking Jabba. And my little brother's like, he said it. My big brother's like, I can't believe he said it. Right. So then even better, even better. I remember we had old neighbors over here that we should like next to our driveway. And the old guy's name was Walter and they got a new car. They had money. And I remember my dad was Mr. Johnson pulls into his driveway. My dad, he gets out of the car and he's like, beautiful car. And he's like, oh, thanks. We just got it. My dad goes, it's totally Jabba. We're in the back seat. Truth. We're in the back seat waiting for my dad to come into the car. We're like, he said it. He said it. My big brother's like, yeah, totally Jabba. Right. So then Mr. Johnson's like, what's Jabba mean? He goes, I don't know myself. It's a word all the kids are using. It means like keen or far out. That's the best. Right. So that whole summer, my dad thinks every time my big brother calls him Jabba, it's a compliment. And I remember on a family road trip, my dad bought himself a beech nut belt buckle. And the dude, it was the only time I've ever seen my dad spend money on himself my whole childhood, truthfully. And it was just because he was like in a Burt Reynolds movies. And yeah, it was the, yeah, you know what I mean? And he always wanted to be a cowboy because like in the 40s that and 50s cowboys were. So he has his cowboy belt buckle and he loved it. Like he would there love it. Yeah, it was that one right there. Yeah. It was the gold version of that. I remember Beach Nut. Yes, that was it. And my dad thought he was the man for having that. So it's a hot summer night. We beg my parents to sleep in the living room, right? And I remember my mom's like, I don't think this is a good idea. And I remember my little brother was like, please, Mom, you don't want us to die. And she was like, Marky, you're not going to die. He was like, it's so hot. Marky, you're going to be fine. He was like, oh, that's what you said about my hamster. And it was really.
Truth was. The hamster died from the heat, bro. Yeah,
I think what happened was, well, we were gone with my grandmother. My gram, the one who was always saying crazy inappropriate things. I think they were just sleeping or hibernating, but she thought they were dead and she vacuumed them up.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there was whenever there was an incident in the house, it was like a jury in a court. Now, what happened, Mom? I don't know what happened. Mom, you're the only one in the house. Tell us what happened. What happened to my hamster, right? So we sleep in the living room and we're all in that pull-out bed. The three of us lined up like the Three Stooges. And there was a TV in the living room. We're loving life. It's the summer. There's no school. And the three of us are lined up. And my big brother, for whatever reason, wants to start doing the steamroller game. Right. Yeah, where he's just starting to pump his fist and he's like steamroller and he starts crushing me, my little brother. And my little brother's like, don't, it hurts. So now that Chris knows it hurts, he doesn't even steamroll me. He dives over me and he's just squishing Mark. So then Mark's trying to, he was actually doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu hip. He's shrimping out to get out. Right. And then he's like, I hate you. So he starts to, but now it's physical. Now there's a confrontation. My dad comes downstairs, breaks it up. And it's hot. There's no air conditioning upstairs. He's mad where I'm 8. He's mad I don't have a job. It's like he's saying, you know, hey, if you kids were working, you'd be sleeping. You'd be too tired. When I was your age, I was on a construction site. And we're like, dude, take it easy, right? Rosemary, this is your fault. You coddle these boys, right?
Now so it's that, mom's fault.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So then it happens again. There is a full-on brawl. My dad comes downstairs, and I know it's bad because my mom's pat. She lets out the panic scream, like, don't hurt them, right? So she follows him down there. My dad's got the beech nut belt buckle on. He's still got his jeans on. So he comes in. He separates my brothers, and I'm like, I'm scared. You know, it's like real. And now it's like the enforcer shows up. And as soon as my dad separates them, Mark spits in Chris's face. So now Chris dives past my, and now he's trying to kill Mark. My dad throws him off and Mark goes, I hate you, you mother lover. So now my dad's like, Mark, how many times do I have to tell you don't use language like that? He goes, why don't you be like Chris and use new words like Jabba? Dude,
Bob.
My little brother's face lights up and Chris starts to panic. Oh, dude, Chris is going, no. And he goes, no, he deserves to know, Chris. Now my dad's like, I deserve to know what? And Chris is going, no, Mark, I'll give you. Right. He's trying to bribe Mark. And he goes, Dad, Jabba doesn't mean cool. And he goes, yes, it does. No, it doesn't. And then Chris is going, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And Mark goes, no, Dad. Remember when you took us to see Star Wars? There's the big fat guy that had Princess Leia on a leash. His name was Jabba the Hutt. Chris has been calling you that to your face all summer and you've been loving it. He's been disrespecting you to your face, but behind your back he's been laughing. And my big brother just starts taking off running. So now my dad chases Chris. My mom's chasing, Doc, you're gonna kill him. And we're all going, kill him, kill him. So my dad gets Chris cornered. And I remember he gets finally traps him like a rat. And he's going, I should have, my mom's going, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. So now my dad's trying to get his belt off, but he's too fat. He can't get the belt off. No lie. He's going, I'll come. Right? Mom's like, what's he got? And we're all trying to grab the belt. He's going, no, nobody's stopping me. This is your fault. And he can't get it off. So then Chris is like this and he starts laughing. Then my mom inherited her grip. My mom's laugh. Her shoulders are going. I'm laughing. Mark's going, he can't get it off. He can't get it off. My dad's like, I'll hit all you kids. I'll hit all you kids. So then it's my dad in exhaustion.
Oh, you know everybody's been
so then my dad starts laughing. He goes, I can't get it off. I can't get it off. And then my dad sits down. He can't breathe. And he goes, baby, you're right. I should lose some weight. It went from this close to being a vicious beating all around to laughs. And then my dad's like, what do you say we order a pizza? Now we're just eating pizza, being a happy fat family. It was the best.
That is the greatest story.
Oh, dude, that was the absolute best.
Oh, God, yeah, my stomach hurts. Oh, shit, dude.
And the funniest thing about it is now
still laughing and waving to the neighbors and shit. Car looks
my
job.
Dad loves it. He goes, did you do the Jabba story tonight? I go, no, Dad.
Speaking of pizza, you have one of what I think is the classiest, smartest, all-time moves ever.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you out there who ever find yourself in a situation like this, this is the move right here. Explain what you guys used to do when you, like, if there was a party or something at that
house. So this is how it went. My family takes food very seriously.
Very. You're, Kirsten and I talk about it. Like, when it comes to foodie, it's you. You know, when I went to Philly, you're like, we're going to have half a sandwich here.
Yeah, you don't want to fill up.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
I never
want. So good.
Whenever I'm in Philly, like my dream, like I'm wearing my boy INL, I feel like Paulie and Rocky when he's wearing Shamrock Meats.
Yeah.
I'm like, INL's he's an artist of food.
I met him when we were there. Great.
Hilarious,
dude.
Cool dude. But his food, he's got his ovens from 1910.
Damn.
Like you can just taste the joy of your ancestors with every bite. Like, his food's incredible. So something like Iannelli's would be the top of the pizza chain, right? But being a fat family, you're not going to make the trip every time. Like, the more special the occasion, the longer the drive to get the best stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If it's Friday night pizza, we're going to go to Swarthmore Pizza or Coco's, something local.
We got a communion or something. We're going to go out.
Oh, birthday pizza.
Yeah, right.
Birthday pizza every year was from this place called Pica's. So Pica's Pizza in Upper Darby. My dad would tell the story about when I was a little boy, it was just, they didn't even have seats. It was in West Philadelphia and you would just go in and Frank Pica himself would be making the pies.
Frank Pica.
My dad would, there was like a lineage. There was like a
store.
That's it. And there was like a, like folklore about this pizza. Mm-hmm. When I was this big and I saw them making the pizza, like, so it was a special occasion pizza. And it was a like 40 minute drive with traffic. And my dad, because he always wanted to get out of the house, you know, whenever there was a party or something, he's like, babe, I can't help. I got to go pick up the pizzas. He's gone for 2 hours, right? Like, genius move. Now, that had been happening my whole childhood. And I don't know how old I was, maybe 13. And my dad's like, you want to come with me to pick up the pizzas? And I'm like, yes. Like, that's an honor. Like, I get to sit shotgun. I get to hang out with my dad. He's telling me stories. We're driving the Pica's. And he goes, I'll pick up for Simone. And it was supposed to be like two pepperoni. We were such a fat family because we would always over order. So there'd be leftovers. So it was maybe supposed to be two pepperoni, two plain, or like my older brother, like green peppers, maybe whatever. There's supposed to be a four pizza pickup. And the guy was like, Simone, all right. And he puts five pizzas. And I go, Dad, I thought there was four pizzas. And he goes, and I go, what? So he pays for me. He goes, I've got to let you in on a little secret. I go, what? He goes, this one on top, I call that the car pie. I go, what? He goes, this is just for us. I go, what do you mean? He goes, it's my little secret. He goes, we eat this on the way home because we went and got it. And I'm like, what? And it was a genius move because I remember my dad would pick up the pizzas, bring him back to the house. He's like, no, babe, let the boys eat. Yeah. And I, my like whole life, I thought he was a gentleman. Yeah. He would crush a large pizza by himself on the car ride home.
That's the move right there.
The
dude.
Move.
The car pie.
The car pie.
Steve Simone, I love you so much.
I love you
man.
Too.
Thank you for doing this. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.